All the Things I Said, Running Through My Head by Loathly, read to you by Altfish the Fish. Quick reader's notes before we begin. Thank you so much to Loathly, which is, I'm assuming, is how you pronounce your username. If not, I am so sorry. Thank you so much for letting me podfic your fic. Genuinely, it's one of my favourite fics on this entire site. It's so brilliant. I love your characterization. This is my first ever podfic. I don't know if you could tell by the way I talk or I stumble over my words a little bit. So I'm apologising in advance for that. If there's any background noise or, like I said, I stumble. I am literally recording this in my room on my voice memos on my phone. So if it's not the best recording, I apologise. But yeah, so without further ado, let's get onto the fic. I got death threats filling up, send my trucks. Tell me who I am, cause I don't have a choice. All because I lied. I'm a hot topic on your tongue. I'm a rebound getting round, stealing from the young. Tell me who I am, cause I don't have a choice. All because I like the boy. Ever since Therrien and the Montreal Metro's management team pulled him out of the locker room after the game and told Shane that he'd give the press interviews alone and apologised to the furious fans after a shameful defeat thanks to him, Shane, who was already on the verge of a dissociative episode, had to swallow the lump of feelings he can't name stuck in his throat and walk to the press room like a man walks to the guillotine, shoulders tense, head bowed, his chest so full of everything and nothing at the same time. Shane repeats the script in his head over and over again, trying to avoid shuddering violently at every flash of the cameras and the murmur of the hall that must be the worst background noise in history, pressing his nails against the palm of his hands in an attempt to focus his thoughts. But they're such a mess that Shane hardly knows how he manages to walk without tripping over his own feet until he finally sits in the chair in front of the microphone and the cameras. The questions begin. Ruthless, calculating, cold as the unease he feels accumulating in the pit of his stomach. He answers the inquiries mechanically like an emotionless robot, even though everything is so overwhelming that he barely knows how he can even breathe. Too numb to bother maintaining meaningful eye contact beyond staring straight ahead with unfocused vision, while he was still repeating the script to the reporter's questions. Tonight's defeat is as much as a great disappointment for Shane as it is for the fans, and he understands their frustrations, and for the next season, he and the Metros will work even harder to honour the fans, regain their trust, and bring the cup back to Montreal once again. His brain doesn't register the insistent questions from one of the reporters at first. There's a delay in Shane's auditory processing until he manages to isolate the words and their meanings in a pause that disorientates him. Shane blinks, lost and focused, frowning as he can't believe he actually heard what he was asked. For a second, he believes this was just another time he failed to grasp it at a subliminal context, and indeed, at first he doesn't understand. Hence the long seconds of silence as his head tirelessly repeats the question until, unfortunately, he realises that he actually does know what the reporter meant. Noticing that Shane seems to have froze, the reporter, a middle-aged man with a large, receding hairline, thinning grey hair, a condescending glint in his eyes, and a venomous smile, repeats the question as if he'd just won the lottery for leaving Shane speechless under live television.
Hollander, do you believe that tonight your relationship with Rosanoff outweighed your loyalties to the Metros?
Marlowe's hard tackle in April 2017, which resulted in Shane's fractured collarbone and concussion, hurt less than the horrific realisation that just felt like it ripped a hole in his chest. Something Shane had learned early on, even before being drafted by the Metros in his rookie year, and which his mother and Fra reinforced over the years, is that media doesn't blink at the possibility of being kind when being cruel is more profitable to them. But somehow, the feelings he couldn't name since arriving at the stadium tonight are being greeted by the cold, disapproving stares of his teammates, managers, assistants, coaches and even team doctors are starting to grow inside him and take on an ugly shape that made him gasp for breath and widen his eyes a fraction. Everything comes flooding back in at once and seems to tighten around Shane's neck in a cruel grip. The isolation from before the start of the game,
all the commands he tried to give as captain that were ignored by everyone except Hayden. Even JJ, man, wasn't able to look him in the eye tonight. The way nobody else even bothered to get any of the passes he assisted, all the shoves on the ice and the muttered insults disguised as accidental strikes from his own teammates. The way they let the Centaurs corner him at every chance, all the times he tried to talk to coach to indicate and make the others listen to him, and instead, he only received a look of disgust from the man or got benched. The harsh words in the locker room during halftime, the glares and accusations from his teammates, the homophobic insults, the shoves and the threats from people he'd known for almost a decade. Everyone thinks Shane threw tonight's game on purpose. The bad feeling in his stomach is just the first thing he recognises amidst the turmoil. Dread. Then, all the other emotions are easily recognised. Indignation, frustration, disappointment, sadness. Shane also feels deeply betrayed. Until the disappointment turns into hurt, resentment, a growing anger, which must somehow show on his face because the same reporter from before stares at him, frightened, and recoils back with his pathetic notebook. How dare they? He gave everything for this team. Shane gave his all and then some. Even when there was nothing left for himself and all he had the strength to do when he got his empty apartment was lie on the bed and stare at the wall for hours, absolutely exhausted to the bone. Exhausted from the physical exertion, body aching from maintaining the mask of the perfect captain, from upholding his perfectionism and rigid routine, from swallowing down his discomfort at the sudden changes so as to not to be inconvenient or socially awkward to the rest of his team. He was exhausted from feeling out of place all the time, from silently enduring the often racist and homophobic jokes. Every damn day for nearly 10 years of his life. The silence lingers, heavy and impossibly loud, while everyone waits for him to relax his clenched jaw and fists, nails so deeply embedded in his skin that they bleed in half-moon shapes. The correct thing, or rather the expected thing, would be for Shane to maintain his composure, despite the explicit accusation for the question, for him to deeply apologise for his actions that led to today's defeat, for loving a man, for that man being Ilya Rozanov, even though he did nothing fucking wrong. However, the words that suddenly escape his throat in a cold rage are exactly the opposite of what everyone expects from Shane Hollander, captain of the Montreal Metros, Canada's golden boy. They are unfiltered, not meant to please anyone or appease tempers as Shane had always done before when dealing with the press. You know what? Fuck that! Shane says this with absolute determination, his eyes burning as he curses, something uncharacteristic for someone who's always been known how to deal with the press with politeness. Finally, he fully understands what the expression means. You could cut the tension with a knife, instead of just getting used to hearing it and associating it with an extremely uncomfortable situation as he often does. Needing to control his breathing before it comes too erratic, Shane unlocks his jaw and lets his thoughts run wild and violent for the first time at a press conference. Everyone suddenly feels they're entitled to scrutinise my relationship as if it's a public matter instead of private. He sneers derisively, glaring at the reporter with loathing. People have been acting as if any of you have the right to accuse me or Ilya of throwing games for each other's benefit in the past. Like, you feel you are entitled to dictate rules for our lives and how we should behave as to not make anyone uncomfortable with our relationship. He snorts a disgusted laugh, shaking his head, feeling his heart pounding in his throat with a deep anger that settles within him. Clenching his teeth again for a moment, he glares directly at the nearest camera, fulminating, hoping his next words leave no doubt for the entire world. You have no fucking right to anything regarding our lives. You have no right to micro-analyse either tonight's game or any other game in the season as if we were at fault for every single thing. because we did nothing wrong. Shane seethes, unable to control his haggard breathing and his fuming eyes, too angry to notice the reporter from before paling. Tonight, Ilya and I played as we always play against each other, with the same intensity, commitment, and desire to lead our team to victory. Nothing was different from all the other times. His cold anger drips from every word, fists clenching and eyes refusing to look anywhere but ahead. To hell with the outraged fans from the Montreal staff and the desperate negative nods and gestures from the PR assistant nearby. Do you know why the Centaurs won the game tonight? He asks right back at the bold man, but doesn't give him or anyone else a chance to answer before he nearly snarls. Because they fucking deserved it. They trained hard for it. They also didn't question the trust they built with their captain. They didn't disregard his commands tonight. They didn't treat their captain as someone less deserving of the C on his arm just because some self-entitled jerk outed his relationship with another player. Shane's eyes burned, but not for the first time since he left the locker room and had to hear the same guys he played with for almost 10 years, guys he grew up with, support through times of grief, messy breakups, attended most of their weddings as one of their groomsmen, accuse him of throwing the game to Ilya. There are no tears. Maybe later, when he can finally break down, realizing that all this time he's only been avoiding the inevitable, there will be a lot of tears. The Montreal Metros never deserved Shane Hollander. And he spent nearly 10 years of his life trying to prove his worth, giving his sweat, blood, and tears for a team that never truly valued him. But enough is enough. Go ahead, pull up the statistics from tonight's game. Shane jeers at them with scorn, not giving anyone else a single second to interrupt him. I know exactly how many pass assists I got from my teammates. I also know how many assists a pass I did and to whom, and how many times they actually bothered to get. The final score is 5-4, and I scored 3 of those goals all by myself. And the other goal also had my assist, might I add. Then, with a defiant grin that is too Rosenoff-coded for anyone else in the room to miss, he adds with venom, I wasn't the only Metro playing tonight, so why the hell should tonight's defeat be only my fault? Because I tripped in the last couple minutes of the game? He scoffed. Shane sees the wide-eyed reporters, Coach Larian red as a bell pepper glaring at him, the worried look from Hayden, the only one accompanying him to the press conference that Montreal would put him in alone to humiliate him in return for humiliating the team with his sexuality and choice of partner. So go ahead. Say what you wanted to say from the beginning when you asked if I thought tonight my relationship outweighed my loyalty to my team. Shane Hollander stumbled back because he wanted his boyfriend to win. Isn't that what you were trying to imply from the start? You and half the internet, I'm sure. And unable to control himself, a laugh, this time almost hysterical, escapes his throat. Something burns in his stomach, making him feel disgusted within his body. Trying to swallow the nausea, after all these years of suppressing his feelings, choking over his fears, Shane finally doesn't try to interrupt his outburst out of the courtesy for the sake of the people who'd never actually cared about him. Fuck them. As if I haven't dedicated my entire career, sacrificed my personal life for the sake of this goddamn team. And the only time I chose something for myself that didn't align with their morals, they rejected me and scorned me like trash. Shane scoffed. I came out as gay to management and my teammates 2 years ago. And no one has ever treated me the same since. As if I'd suddenly start ogling them in the showers or flirting with them when I had never thought of them that way or would never do anything to disrespect them. So he can't help but stare intently at the coach in the distance, curling his lips up in derision at the man who punished him every time Shane tried to stand up to the team's homophobia. You said everything was okay, as long as I kept my personal preference a secret, right, coach? Me standing up from the homophobic slurs was me overreacting. That's what you told me, right? Because in your opinion, I had to put up with it since I decided to disrupt the team dynamic with this issue. Shane doesn't care if he's about to have a heart attack from how red the man's face is. As long as I was gay, far away from you all, no problem. No matter how the Montreal Metros try to accuse him of being liable after, Shane has numerous recordings of conversations he had with his coach, the team managers, and the insults he was forced to endure from his teammates, especially in the last month. But having my relationship with Ilya Rozanov outed against our will suddenly had the Metros questioning my dedication, my loyalty to this team, as if everything I did for them was nothing. Shane blinks, starting to feel lightheaded and shaking with the pain of betrayal he felt as soon as he stepped into the locker room after the game. Because he never, ever thought they would ever accuse him of tripping on purpose, after knowing him for almost 10 fucking years. Even though I fucking won, not one, not two, but 3 cups for the Metros. With trembling breaths, numb fingers, and beginning to notice the signs of a shutdown, Shane continued speaking everything that had been bottled up inside him, even as the emptiness in his chest grew. Today's game was no different from any other game I've played against Ilya. Nothing was different. Absolutely nothing changed. He emphasized the words pouring out of his mouth in a torrent of emotions. And if nothing else matters, if Shane has nothing else to lose, if the Metros never truly cared about him except for taking everything they could get from him, and if they clearly weren't important to him anymore, what's wrong with telling the truth? Shane just wants to go home to Ilya. Everything else is white noise. A white blank page. His story, his career, his whole life with the Montreal Metros has become a damn white blank page and a swelling rage. With ragged breaths, his throat dry, he dropped the final bomb, not caring about the explosion or the repercussions. Let the internet blow up. Let the Metros deal with the fallout of their actions, losing a generation's talent for nothing. Not a single cent at all. You want a headline that'll shock the world of sport? Fine. Write this down then. Shane smiled derisively straight ahead, not bothering to pretend he cared about looking at any of them, while straightening his back and with his chin held high, he finally dropped the bomb into the lap of everyone watching. Before I was ever drafted by the Metros, and every single game since signing with them, every award and cup won until now, my entire professional life in the NHL, no one had ever known a Shane Hollander, professional hockey player, who wasn't in love with Ilya Rozanov from the start. Everyone was already wide-eyed before Shane's statement, following each of his words in a speech so full of cold rage. Now the entire room takes a collective gasp in utter shock as he delivers the news no one could have expected. Then he shrugs, because Shane is so fucking tired of everything. That's right, and I'll give 2 headlines for you instead of 1. How about it? In good Canadian spirit, after all, I'm the golden boy, right? Shane jeers derisively as he slowly gets up from the chair, the metal dragging on the floor with a loud shriek that has him internally wincing from the deep silence of the press conference room. Everyone and their mum knows I don't have a reputation for bragging or for behaving as if I'm the best player in the league. But it turns out that I am, right? The best hockey player in the league. That's it. He's not actually bragging if that's what the statistics show, right? Shane smirks at them because it's the first time he's allowed himself to brag about this. I have more goals and assists, the resulting goals, under my stats than any other player, including Ilya himself. He makes a point of staring intently for a moment at Coach Therrien, the Montreal Metro's management representative and the PR assistant, in what would later the internet would dub as the Shane Hollander glare of doom, before flashing a smile more arrogant and confident than he actually felt before winking towards the reporters and especially towards the camera recording everything and broadcasting live. Then Shane leans over to reach for the microphone again, the smile vanishing from his face, giving way to a cold, furious expression, his voice filled with pure contempt. And as the best player in the league, this is my official statement. Tonight was my last game with the Montreal Metros. From now on, I am a free agent, and whichever team I play for next season will be an exclusive team that respects me, a team that values my blood, sweat, and tears I have always dedicated to my training, to every game I've ever played, regardless of whether I am gay or in a long-term relationship with Ilya Rozanov. It will be a team that, unlike the Metros, welcomes me and is grateful to have the best hockey player in the NHL, Shane Hollander. Shane takes a deep breath and with one last cold glare addresses the group of Metros players, now publicly his former teammates, who have begun to slowly gather during the interview, staring at him in shock and bewilderment. As if, even after everything that had happened in the last few weeks, and especially tonight, they never expected Shane to leave the Metros of his own accord. And for as long as I'm a professional player, I promise you that I will dedicate myself intently so that when the Metros' odds of going to the playoffs rely on the results of me, and then meeting on the rink on opposing teams, the Metros will never again be able to lift the cup. The cacophony of outraged explanations, the frantic clicks and flashes of the cameras and the reporters practically climbing on top of each other with incessant questions is almost enough to send Shane into a breakdown right there. A knot is forming in his throat, panic beginning to grow beneath his skin as the tornado of emotions makes his head spin. These people could never understand how badly, at this moment, Shane Hollander feels everything around him is too much. The lights, the scraping chairs, the side conversations, the stitches of his clothes against his skin, the urge to bite his arm and tear out his hair while screaming and crying. And he wants to rip open his own chest with his nails to see if all the pain, all the anger and disappointment will come out of him. Not yet. You're not safe yet, Shane, just a little more. But he refuses to show any more vulnerability to the people in front of him, who have only hurt him. He owes nothing to anyone here. Not even a final goodbye, or a good night for that matter. And without saying any more, Shane walks away. Hayden, who is already waiting for him in the hallway with their things, quickly guides Shane to one of the exits behind the stadium where Jackie is waiting with the car running and eyes fixated on the surroundings. Minutes into the drive, the couple exchange worried glances as Shane, unsurprising after the events of the press conference, becomes completely nonverbal and dissociates the entire way home. Nothing they can say or do can snap Shane out of his shutdown, not even mentioning that they learned from Harris that Rozanov is finishing his own conference going straight home afterwards. Because Shane is more important than hockey to Ilya, however happy he is with tonight's victory. They don't mention that Yuna's already posted an official statement on Shane's social media about the end of his contract with Montreal and his disappointment with a team he thought he'd be retiring with. While thanking the fans for their support all these years, highlighting his commitment, dedication and work ethic to the team and fans all this time. They don't mention that Yuna's also removed all the pictures with and unfollowed all of the Montreal Metro's accounts and those of the other players on the team, even JJ's. Hayden and Jackie also don't tell Shane that Scott Hunter and most of the New York Admirals and even Marlowe and a few of the other Raiders and several other players in the league and their own team official accounts made their own official statement on their profile condemning homophobia in sports and the Metro's shameful conduct, and highlighting Shane's professionalism throughout his career and how shameful and disrespectful this press conference was, all mentioning the NHL and demanding action, while emphasising that any team in the league would be overjoyed to sign with a player of Hollander's calibre. The Pike couple say nothing about how the internet is buzzing and today's press conference is already occupying the entire top five on Twitter in sports, being number one, the Montreal Metros suck, two, Shane Hollander, three, Hollander glare of doom, four, Ilya Rozanov, five, since before their rookie season. When they finally arrive at Shane's apartment, Hayden watches with a broken heart as his best friend gets out of the car dejected, his eyes clouded and full of tears, but with a blank expression, head hung low on his shoulders, inched towards himself, as Shane barely shrugs out of his sneakers, leaving them where they drop instead of carefully organising his things, goes straight to the master suite without even closing the door. Jackie takes a sharp intake of air next to him, and after a few seconds they hear the sniffle. She grabs Hayden's own trembling arm, and even in all their years of friendship, this is the first time she's truly seen how Shane is when he no longer has the strength to mask how he feels. From her gaze, which struggles between concern for Shane's mental state and her month-old growing hatred for the Metros, Hayden is certain that as soon as his own contract ends next season, he too will look for another team to sign with, and that his wife won't mind, even if they have to move countries. Fortunately, it doesn't take too long for Rozanov to arrive at the apartment, entering with hurried steps and almost breathless as he looks around for Shane. He went straight to the bedroom, Hayden says quietly, and gestures towards where Shane went and hasn't come out in the last half hour since they'd arrived. He and Jackie have heard nothing but a few sniffles and low sobs, and he tells Rozanov his match, seeing how the other player's eyes get heavy with concern, as does his accent.
Thank you for taking care of him,
the Russian says in a hoarse voice, his hair still a mess of damp curls from the shower at the rink. Years have made Hayden used to the other side of Ilya Rozanov, to the point that even a sincere thank you that used to make him widen his eyes in surprise and stammer a response is now just a normal thing in their lives. The sky is blue, Shane is his best friend, and Rozanov isn't such a bad guy after all. No problem, Rosie. Let me know how he is later. With a hurried nod from Ilya, who is clearly practically climbing the walls with the urge to go to the room and see how Shane is doing, Hayden and Jackie say a brief goodbye and leave. It's likely that the Montreal Metros still haven't realised the mess they've made by mistreating the best player in their entirety of their team's history, and just how deep the pit Shane Hollander pulled them out of so many years ago and guided them back into the spotlight today actually is. Hayden shakes his head at the idiocy of it all. Jackie exchanges a glance with him in the rearview mirror as she drives them home. The Metros may not have realised how screwed they are, blinded beyond measure by their own disgusting prejudice, and Hayden doubts they'll realise the mess they've made anytime soon. But after so many years on the team, he knows what will happen to them. And he's not the only one. The hockey world has already started talking. It's only a matter of time before the Metros are back in the same hole they were before Shane. Hollander lifted them up. In about 3 months from now, just before the next season, it'll be announced which team is signed with. All the NHL teams have fans, and the fans themselves will be cursing all generations of Montreal Metros for recklessly letting Shane Hollander go and causing him and Ilya Rozanov to play on the same team. When the world realised that, in addition to their unparalleled rivalry built over almost a decade under the spotlight, already making them difficult players to compete with when alone, they managed to be even worse opponents when they form a terrifying duo on the ice that terrifies everyone. Especially when the newlywed couple plays on the same line. Well, Hayden thinks to himself, puffing out an amused laugh through his nose. It's going to be hell playing against them for everyone, but especially for the Metros. Because while they waited in Shane's apartment living room, Jackie showed him excerpts from Rozanov's interview in Damn, there's no other way to describe the glint in the Russian's eye other than bloodthirsty, when he vowed that the Montreal metros would get what they deserved. So, with a heavy, exhausted sigh from today's game, Pike realizes he's going to have to endure the next season with the players he's lost all respect for. He ignores JJ's seventh goal in a row. Bourgeois and the metros have made their choice. Now they must deal with the consequences when their time comes. Hayden suspects this will be the most emotionally draining, yet short season of his entire career. All because I liked a boy, and all this for what? When everything went down, we'd already broken up. Please tell me who I am, 'cause I don't.